teenager attending Bible, vacation Bible school, back in Sierra Leone, long time ago, I absolutely fell in love with the story of Samuel, that first Bible passage that we have. It felt a bit scary at the time, as I wondered, I had so many questions. Does God speak with a human voice? How would anyone recognize God's voice? Do you think that God speaks with a human voice? Today? Yeah? I see some nodding. Okay, yes? Fantastic. I suppose we all have different ways in which we sense that we're hearing God's voice. Yeah. And so many times in our engagement with different things, we're having to open our ears, you know, and to discern what we're hearing or what, you know, we think that, you know, it's coming through to us. And how do we really understand and know what that is about? So I have to ask those questions, you know, because the story of Samuel has some very fast-paced kind of action. There's humor as well, but more importantly, there is a deep message. And just for a brief background as to that story in the book of Samuel, Samuel is the son of Elkanah and Anna. Anna, he was born in answer to the prayer of his previously childless mother. Anna has been a dedicated Christian, been in the temple day and night, and she was praying, asking God fervently that she wanted a child. And God gave her Samuel. And so she decided that because God has done this wonderfully great thing for her, she's going to give Samuel back to God. Samuel to be in God's presence, in God's service, everything. And that's where we find Samuel, in the temple, under the leadership of Eli, who was the high priest. So, in the passage today that we had, Samuel hears a voice in his sleep. He's a little groggy, of course, from waking up suddenly. And he assumes it's the voice of his mentor, Eli. So he gets up, goes to Eli's room, and said, "Yes, you called me." And then Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep, and he heard the voice again. And again, he got up, you know, went back to Eli. "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "No, sorry, I didn't call you." You know, but Eli was also beginning to feel like, what is this? Is something troubling Samuel? What is this? Well, being a high priest, he also began to sense something. Like, why is this happening to Samuel? What is this about? So, this exchange happened twice. Samuel waking up from the sleep, running to Eli, and then the penny dropped, you know, on Eli. And he said, now I know. If you hear this voice again, I'm going to tell you what to say. So when you hear the voice again, just say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So I'm sure Samuel would have been taken aback by this suggestion by Eli. Maybe he pondered in his mind, "Where did God get to know me? What is that? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And you can just imagine maybe the look on his face. Maybe it was a look of amazement. It was a look of fear. It was a look, you know, that he was in awe of what really was going on. But he didn't argue. He didn't ask questions. Maybe today we would have been asking questions like, why would I say that? Or why should I say that? But he didn't ask any questions of Eli. He just went back to sleep. And the voice came back. And he did exactly what Eli had asked him to do. He obeyed and he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And when Samuel obeyed, he learns that God needed him to relay a very important message to Eli about Eli's own son. Eli, being the high priest and the judge, had two sons. But these sons were very troublesome sons, even though they were priests themselves in their own right. But they were not doing the things that God wanted them to do. They were doing lots of terrible things. And so God wanted them to be straight in what they are doing, to repent. But people thought that Eli, as a priest, was not a good parent, that he wasn't chastising his children when he saw what they were doing. The allegations against the sons was that they were fornicating, they were stealing things right under their father's nose. And Eli was criticized for his passive approach to parenting, which brought disastrous results for his family and the nation where he was in Israel. So, but although he eventually confronted his sons, that was deemed too late, as this had lingered well into his old age, when God was now speaking to Samuel that things would have to change and that Eli's sons should cease from being high priests or in the positions that they were in. So Eli's disappointment in his children was profound, as his sons maintained a relentless pattern of blasphemous conduct, which was worthy of death according to the law of the land at the time. So God calls Samuel and informs him that things will not progress as usual, that Eli's sons are being replaced by this boy Samuel. I'm sure this must have been shocking to Eli, shocking to Samuel himself, because Eli maybe wasn't expecting that Samuel would be placed in such a prominent position now. And God didn't talk to Eli directly, who was a priest. This voice was directed at Samuel, just a little boy. I don't know what Eli thought or what he didn't think or something, but again, you know, I think he had that sense of discernment and knew that this was God speaking, even though God didn't talk to him directly about his son. God had to go through Samuel to tell him some truth. And Eli didn't argue, he accepted and trusted God's news and followed through with God's directives. And so in this story, there are three dimensions which really spoke to me and which I want to share with you today. Three dimensions. Firstly, there is the dimension of invitation. Samuel was invited by Eli to respond when he hears that call again. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And we too, we're invited to respond to God's calling on our lives. It is an open invitation. God calls us to different things. We just sang that hymn that says, called by God to be disciples. Various things that God calls us to be and to do. And I love that hymn from Singing the Faith, which says, speak, O Lord, as we come to you. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you, to receive the food of your holy word. Take our faith, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts, in our love, in our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. And despite what critics might say about Christianity, we know for sure that the heart of a Christian faith is not compulsion. There's no element of compulsion in everything that we do. There's no irrational argument, no brainwashing. Rather, it is an invitation. An invitation is always extended to us, to ask to do this or to do that. And we have the free will. We have the choice to take or to leave it. So it was an invitation to be able to talk to God ourselves. I remember it was last Sunday I was preaching at Trinity, and I was talking about the story of some women who were drunk, and they went into a church in their drunken state. And they were asking people in the church, they were asking, can I talk to God? And yes, the answer was, yes, you can talk to God. And the next thing was, how? How can I talk to God? Because I've got issues I need to ask God about. And people tried to explain that, yes, you can talk to God through prayer. And then they were like, what is prayer? So then somebody said, well, can I talk to God for you? You know, and they said, okay. And so the person prayed for them. And they were so kind of relieved. And then they started asking questions about how they can, you know, come to that place where they can do those prayers themselves. So it was a conversation. It was an invitation for them to come back to church. For them, they were invited to different things that were happening in the church. And for them, they didn't turn back. They became members of the church. They became active participants in the life of the church and carried on from there. And they stopped the alcohol. So we have this invitation to be able to talk to God ourselves. We don't have to be high priests. We don't have, it doesn't matter if we're babies. It doesn't matter if we're young or old. It doesn't matter if we're pink or blue. It doesn't matter if we're male or female. We've got an invitation to have a personal encounter with God. Because at the core of our faith, as at the core of Samuel's encounter, there is this invitation which can either be accepted or rejected. Samuel could have said, you know what? I thought that you were calling me Eli. And if you're telling me that you are not calling me, I can't be bothered. I'm going to sleep. And if I hear that voice again, I'm not going to answer. But he didn't do that. He accepted that invitation to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So it's an invitation to listen and to speak. And when we become familiar with the Bible, we know the kinds of commands that God would never give, and thus deserve that it is not God's voice telling us some things. It's like when we read all this thing about scamming and everything that's going on, it's always you get something from the bank that we will never ask for your details, we will never ask for this, we will never ask. So when you get some phone calls, when you get some things, know that this is not, because you can discern that the bank would never ask you for certain things. You know, the police would never ask for this, that, and the other. So it's just helping us to discern what we are required to know, what is true and what is not true. So the second dimension I want to speak about is the matter of being known. Samuel engaged with God as he discovered that God knew him, which is why God was calling him, which is why God knew Eli very well. He was a high priest. But God knew Samuel as a child. God knew him by name as well as by nature. When God calls us by name. God knows us. The psalm that we read at the beginning of the service was that God knew us. He knew us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. So the depth of this knowledge is put in the poetic way. By the psalmist in the psalm that we just read. It was you, God, who formed my inward parts. You who knit me together in my mother's womb. So God knew Samuel. It was God who formed his inward parts. God knew him by name, like I said, as well as by nature. God sees not what we are, but what we can be. God sees not only what we are, but what we can be as well. And in the light of the psalmist's words, we can only really know the wonder of who we are when we come to know the one who knows us. There was nothing to hide. So Samuel felt liberated to engage with God. As the passage tells us, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. The Bible tells us there were not many visions, so it says in verse 1 of that passage. So God knows us better than we know ourselves. God, like teachers in a good school, knows our strengths and our weaknesses. God knows our potential and seeks to release that potential within us. We may find this daunting, but dare I say that the good news is that there's no way we can flee from God. Even if we go to the depths of the sea, God knows that we're there. God does not have to use CCTV or any face recognition equipment or body camera. We may find God's knowledge of us daunting, but it is also liberating because we can come before God just as we are. In the light of the psalmist's words again, we can only really know the wonder of who we are when we come to know the one who knows us. God wants to unlock our potential despite our weaknesses and our shortcomings. When Jesus recruited his disciples, he knew what he was getting. He knew that those disciples were not angels. They were not people without fault. He knew the Peters and the Andrewses of this world who would fall asleep when Jesus needed support, who would run away and even deny that they knew Jesus. Being called to be a disciple of Christ is not being called to something against our nature. It is being called to recognize what we are and what we can be. It is all part of what we were from the very beginning. So there is no hiding place. God knows us. God knows who we are. God knows that right now we are in this sanctuary. God knows when we leave here what we plan to do for the rest of the day. So God knew Samuel. God knew Samuel very well. God knew Samuel's potential. God knew Samuel's weaknesses. But God decided that he would speak through Samuel some very important things that he wants to happen. So we've looked at two dimensions: the aspect of invitation, the aspect of God knowing us. So the third and final dimension is a matter of being obedient, obedient to God's instruction. The willingness to obey is an important part of being receptive to God's voice. When Samuel obeyed and said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," Samuel was expressing his trust in God. In the verses that follow today's reading, in Samuel 1, 11 to 19, Samuel was able to join the band of God's prophets and would see and understand so much more in the coming years. Samuel became a religious hero and served as a priest and became the first prophet and the last judge in Israel. And this is true for us too, if we're willing to trust and obey, we will have so much more to experience. You know that song that says, "Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." The fulfilling of our own potential and the contribution that we make to the life of the kingdom We'll all be born out of our willingness to trust God and obey His commands. As an old folk proverb puts it, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Yes? So you never know what God is doing unless you obey. Even then, you may not know how your small act of obedience fits into His larger plan. But occasionally, you'll be able to see the fruit and you can rejoice. For me, sometimes I wonder what other things I could have rejoiced about if I had only listened and obeyed some things. To help disciples realize their potential, all sorts of people are invited into the church to share their life stories and professionalism, be it in the form of teaching, preaching, be it serving tea and coffee, stewarding, youth club leaders, musicians. The list is endless. The other day I was at Ponder's End, and we had coffee morning, afternoon tea, and we had Cooling, who was giving us a talk about history, about DNA and all those things. And I got to learn so much about Colin's family history. And again, learn, if I want to go and trace my family history, how can I do that? That was something I had to learn. Yeah. So we've got so many different aspects of our lives that enrich our lives, that enable us to connect with one another, that enable us to be part of the kingdom. If we turn backwards, we'll see in the foyer there, we've got some children, you know, and I don't know what they're doing, but it's so wonderful to see that. We've got people who've taken time out to enrich the lives of our children. We've got, as soon as I entered the church, I saw the arches already open. Tea and coffee is being prepared. Well, I can't wait when I finish to go and have my own cup of tea and a biscuit or something. People give of themselves. People have obeyed that call of God in their lives. You know, Angela was already in the vestry when I came there. Verona was there, you know. And people they're already, you know, doing all the different things, making sure we can see the screen. We've got our organist, you know, who is making sure that we enjoy our singing. So God calls us into different things. And together, you know, we make a wholesome people. We make a wholesome community. And this is what this is about. So may we, like Samuel, accept that invitation. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we're hearing maybe different voices and we don't really know. You know, sometimes we want to do things and we're scared. And we're saying, what would people think if I come and say, oh, I think I have this kind of suggestion. Why don't we do this? Or why don't we do it like this? Please come with them. You know, sometimes when we're in meetings, somebody will put their hand up like, can I ask a stupid question? You know, because they're not sure how that would be received. But they want to ask that question. So let us ask the stupid question. Let us ask the awkward question. But let us come with whatever we feel that God has been calling or asking of us to do and see where that would place us in, you know. And may we learn to know ourselves as God knows us and be prepared to trust and obey so that we could experience more amazing things, more than we could even dream of as we follow the path of discipleship. And so I leave you with the words of this ancient hymn that is still active in our modern Saving the Faith hymn book. It says, Master, speak, thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? Speak to me, O Master. Let me know it is to me. Speak that I may follow faster with a step more firm and flee. Where the shepherds lead the flock in the shadow of the rock. Master, speak, thou least and lowest. Let me not on her depart. Master, speak, for all thou knowest, all the yearning of my heart. Knowest all its truest need. Speak, and make me blessed indeed. Master, speak, and make me ready. When thy voice is truly heard, with obedience, glad and steady, still to follow every word.